Everyone say, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. Man, you guys are getting good at it. We had a conference, Dr. Barkley had a Holy Spirit conference at our church in April, and we did these bands a couple years ago that say, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. If you come to our church, you get a free one. And so I brought one today, and Carrie did such a great job last night, I wanted to give this to Carrie. Didn't she do great? Wasn't that awesome? I tell you what, man, I was really into that last night.
Amen.
Does anybody have any water? Because I don't want this to be a dry sermon. So, anyway, praise God, hallelujah, thank Jesus, amen. Okay, he's going to get some. All right, good. Well, Faith Covenant Ministries, I think we need to all, right now, get up on our feet and thank God for Sylvia Miley. Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. We love her. She's amazing. Isn't she amazing?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've all traveled with, how many of you have ever traveled with Jim and Sylvia anywhere at all? So you know the experiences, you know all that.
Amen.
We had a wonderful time traveling with them, being with them. It was always a great thing. And they took us places we would never have gone. I'd have never gone to Europe. I just wouldn't have. But we did. I probably wouldn't have had the nerve to go into New York City, but we went in 15 times, probably, at least. So, you know, a guy from the South, you know, a little country boy like me, walking around in New York City, you know, you know, so, but we had a good time with them. They're such great people. We love them so much. And you know, I'm always hesitant to do my gym imitation, because I think some of you might get offended, and I'm not doing it to offend. I'm not going to do it to offend, but I have to do just the one I did it last year, I know. But Jim's preaching for a while. Jim's a great preacher, by the way.
Amen.
Great preacher. I found some notes from 1996. I was going to bring them. I had them on a notepad where Jim preached in our church in the old police building downtown. We used to be in a police building. People got nervous when we went in there because they used to come there before. We were down there in the police building, and Jim was preaching on obedience. And I mean, I thought, man, this was great. And I took a bunch of notes. But Jim's preaching, if you didn't know him, at the beginning you had to watch, he'd go, because like the Lord would do this, and he would go over here like that, and then he would do that! And then you're like, Jesus, Lord, what just happened? But it was always powerful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Always great. I've been, you know, I can't believe this, but they want to put me on Medicare this fall. What's that all about? How did that happen? I thought I was younger or something. I don't know what's going on. But I've met a lot of people in my life. I've been blessed to be in a lot of places, do a lot of things. But of all the people that have ever left my life, some, of course, left because if you're in church, that happens all the time. But maybe they went to heaven before me. The one that was the hardest for me to really work through was Jim. Because he was the one person I knew I could call. My wife knows that. I would be home and I'd be, and Sylvia knows, I'd be so frustrated. You know, somebody in the church would do something to me again. I'd think, man. And Ginger would say, well, you need to call Jim. And I said, I'm calling Jim. And every time he would talk me back down from the cliff, you know, I was getting ready to jump. I was already out there. The last toe was hanging on. And then Jim would say, no, William, you know, you can't do that. Because you don't quit. It's like, all right. All right. So, praise God. Yeah, I don't want this sermon to be dry. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Good job. Right there. All right. Isn't she lovely? All right. If you have your Bibles. How many of you have Bibles? I love the Word of God. I've been in the ministry almost the entire time I've been saved. And I just turned 47 about 4 weeks ago. Don't let these cracks and wrinkles fool you. Of course, that was 47 in the Lord. And I was a long-haired hippie, not a preacher. Well, I was preaching all right, but it wasn't the gospel when I went into the church. And I got born again, and thank God it was in a Pentecostal church. I heard, by the way, last night, didn't Pete do a great job?
Yes.
And you know, I've known Pete a long time. Pete, I've never heard all your story, and I'm sure I didn't hear all of it. There's some of it I know that it's like rated certain ratings, and you can't really go into all of that. But that was awesome last night, and I could relate to some of it. Not all of it, but some of it. But, you know, when I got born again, I was in a Pentecostal church. And I'm glad I was. I didn't know anything about church. I went in, got born again. 2 weeks later, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I mean, I got filled, and filled with the Holy Ghost that night. And the service ended, and then you've heard the story. They had to drag me out and all of that. But I fell in love with the Word of God.
Amen.
And I really, really loved my Bible. I just loved it. I mean, literally, I mean, almost to the point where it was just like I embraced it literally with my hands. I'd carry it and just hold it. I love the Word of God so much. But I didn't learn a lot in the Pentecostal church about the Word of God. All I learned was, yay! You know, we could shout with the best of them. But in 1978, I got up one Saturday morning and I was watching PTL. It was just brand new. We had just gotten cable. You might have gotten it in 68, but in Tennessee, we're a little slow. We got it in 78. And we finally got PTL and it came on and this guy came on. And you heard my story. He said, evidence! Evidence. Do you have enough evidence? It was Dr. Frederick Casey Price. And I thought, what in the world is this? This guy's a heretic. And he's preaching stuff out of here like, what? But I went and got my Bible and I thought, wait a minute. Everything that he said is in there. And then introduced me to the Word of Faith. And the reason the Word of Faith worked for me, Pete, is because it was the thing that changed my life. I needed that Word of Faith. We didn't have a Word of Faith at church in Clarksville. We stayed with the Pentecostal church for years. Most of you know that. I would go to Nashville anytime. There was a couple of good Word of Faith churches up there. I'd go up there to see Charles Capps and Norval Hayes and T.L. Osborne and Hilton Sutton and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all the greats. And I would come back and I would feel so great when I went up there, but when I got back, I'd feel so bad because we didn't have anything in Clarksville. And this went on for a few years, and I was just, Lord, why? Why do we not have a faith church in Clarksville? Why? And I was a youth pastor. I was a senior pastor. Then I decided to be a youth pastor. No, but the Lord wanted me to do it. And that's why I still love young people. I love, love, love young people. And because I'm still young, because young is 64 and under. And in October, that will be 65 and under, just so you know what the cutoff line is. And next year, that will probably go up a year, so just so you know. But the Lord dealt with me, as you know, about starting the church, and you know all the history, and I know I've told you before. So we started the church. I didn't want to. God pushed me off the cliff. And here we go. We're going to start a Word of Faith church. And I fell in love with the Word of God. And then just to cut to where we are with Faith Covenant Ministries, when we met Jim and Sylvia in the 90s and the church was already going and really going, they came at a time when it was just crazy. Yep. What was going on. There was so much going on. God was moving so fast. And but he said, you know, we're going to start this. God has put this in me to start this. I'm going to use a different term here, company. You know, that's what Paul says, company of believers, team company. So he says, company of believers. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, and I said, what? He goes, oh, it's going. And then he said, I said, what's the name? And he finally told me, he said, Faith Covenant. I said, I'm in. When he said faith, my hand went straight up. I said, I'm in. And so I want to talk to you today about faith. I've been preaching faith for 47 years. I don't know hardly anything, but I have experienced some of it.
Amen.
And I learned a lot of things about the Word of God. Is when you start experiencing it, you may not ever be able to explain it, but nobody can take it away from you.
Yes.
Once you walk in it, I don't care who comes along, Mr., you know, like Ginger said, I've got a PhD, I finally went back and did all that, and I got all that stuff. That stuff doesn't matter. And I've had a lot of people, a lot more intelligent than me, come along, try to talk me out of the Word, but they can't do it. Because even if I don't understand all of it, I do understand one thing, it works. So if you have your Bibles, turn quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, you're going to have to give me the warning. I know that here's the thing about the speaker before lunch. I shouldn't even have mentioned that name. I wasn't even going to mention lunch. But the speaker before lunch has really got some pressure on him. Because, you know, while I'm talking about Romans chapter 3, you're thinking about, you know, lasagna chapter 1. And so I got to try to keep you captivated enough to keep you in here today. Your notes are not going to help you. So if you got your little notebook out, I'm sorry. I'm also a man of the Spirit, so I've been praying in the hotel room, as Pastor Ginger has. And I'm going to preach on faith, but it won't necessarily be all the stuff that you see in your notes. I have a whole bunch of stuff. How many of you have, preachers know what I'm talking about when this happens? And not this. All the stuff that you printed out and did real good with, but now all of a sudden you're back to this. I thought I graduated from that when I got a computer, but apparently God doesn't think that's true, so I haven't. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Father, we thank you for the word we're about to receive. We receive it with gladness. We are so, so very grateful for Faith Covenant Ministries, Jim and Sylvia Miley, all the great men and women in this company, Lord God. 25 years, most people cannot last 25 months, 25 weeks, or even 25 days. But here we are at 25 years, a quarter of a whole century, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for the commitment of everybody in here. I know everybody in this room today is going through something. So help them, touch them, lift them in Jesus' name. And all God's people shout it.
Amen.
So we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, because my job today, my assignment, that's what I would say, I have an assignment. An assignment from the Spirit, is to get you back in faith. Now, here's what I know. A lot of you think you are, and I'm not going to dispute that you are, but I'm going to challenge you a little bit about where are you in faith today? Are you really in faith? Because a lot of times we are going through the motions, and we're not really active in our faith. Now, I'm not talking about your belief in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about whether you believe the Word of God. I'm not talking about whether you believe in the gifts and the Spirit and all everything. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about what are you actually exercising your faith for right now? Because faith has to have an object. Faith is designed for you to point, and God will cause things to come to pass. So this scripture here, I'm preaching to preachers mostly. So I know that you guys know the Word of God just like me. So now see, I'm from the South, but now see there, I don't talk that slow, y'all. I'm down there in Tennessee, but I don't talk like that. I can talk really fast. You don't watch. I'll be all over. Praise the hell. You think Jesus, amen. Now, most people in the South will say this. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So that's not me. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Did you find it?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you did because I'm almost there. All right. Chapter 13, verse 4. Examine your... Oh, wait a minute. What? What is that first word? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. So we're going to, excuse me today, but we're going to have an examination in here. Now, don't worry, we're not going to be naked and afraid here in a little bit. We're talking about the Word of God. Everybody's safe in here. There's not going to be anything else going on other than a self-examination.
Amen.
By the way, I have a brand new book coming out. Pastor Ginger told you about it. It'd be my 12th book in November. And I wasn't going to tell you one of the chapters, but I decided to. But I want everybody over here, anybody that's near children, in about 10 seconds when I give you the cue, kind of distract them for just a minute. Because I got to tell you about one of the chapters in my new book. It's called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. What does the Bible really say? I spent the first two chapters talking about marriage, what it should be. And we talk about how if you are already married or you're thinking about getting married, you need to follow the Bible example. And we go way into that. But the third chapter, go ahead and cover theirs, is called... Isn't sex a wonderful thing? It's about time a preacher wrote a chapter about this stuff, and that's actually chapter 3. And you know what I know? For the first time ever, the men are going to buy the book more than the women. So that was actually a marketing point. Not really. No, that is the title of the chapter. So it'll be coming out this fall. We'll let you know when it comes out. Sylvia will know, and thank you in advance for buying 100 copies each. I really appreciate that. With that, I will sign at least 5 of them. Okay, there you go. All right, so shameless plug right there. We got the shameless plug out of the way. But notice what he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, I'm going to say some things that you know, but I hope that the Spirit of God is going to help you hear it in a way that maybe you haven't heard it. We know that. That faith is always now.
Yes.
Now, you know, we know that hope is futuristic. You know, it's the things hoped for. So hope is always kind of like out here. Well, I'm hoping for that. That's a great thing. You have to have hope. I preached a whole series on it. You have to. But faith is always right now. Yes. And faith won't benefit you if you aren't active in it now.
That's right.
You can't rest on what you have experienced to this moment. Faith is for now. Mm-hmm. What is it in your life today that is your biggest challenge, that is the hardest thing for you to do? If this would happen, Lord, if this right here, I need this because I know that you want me to do it, and I know it's your will, and when this happens, I can see how it's going to set on course a whole series of things in my life. You need to get back to knowing what that is.
Yeah.
And actively applying your faith.
Yeah.
Putting it on it. How are you going to? Well, we'll talk about it, and it's going to be everything that you know I'm going to say today. You know, the thing about, and we're going to talk about speaking. Of course, we got to speak. Faith must be heard. You saw that in the notes. There's something about faith. It's not enough to have it in here. It never really works till it gets out.
That's right. Amen.
And God is a master. He's a master. If you'll let him, he'll show you how to walk in faith.
Yes.
He took Moses, again, that's why Carrie's vivid illustration last night. But he took Moses, and he did something really interesting with Moses when he appeared to him at the burning bush, and we know what was going on there and what happened. And when he finally began to tell him what his assignment was, he knew that Moses was not ready to walk in faith yet. So he had to do something on the outside in order to get him stirred up on the inside. Now, faith actually works opposite, but he had to. He knew that Moses wasn't, he wasn't ready. He had not heard, you know. How can you hear? You have to hear. Yeah. So God did something interesting. He appeared in a bush, something he could see. He spoke to him audibly, something he could hear. And he did all of these things to get Moses' attention. But eventually, Moses was going to have to walk by faith. In a little while, he was going to do some of the most outlandish, amazing, incredible things that any human being on earth had ever done to that point. He was going to go to the most powerful man on the whole earth and point his finger. God was going to make him think that Aaron was going to do all the speaking. But when you get in there, guess who's up there? God said, you know. And then God did, and then God looks at him. He says, we know all the stories, the bargain goes, and we all know what happened there. And the illustration last night. He said, well, I can't do this. What do I have? And God said, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? All right, so we know the story. And he says, well, you know, a stick. Thank you, I got a stick here. What's this going to do? And God said, well, throw it down. Yeah. Now, he's beginning to get him to walk in faith, and he doesn't even know he's walking in faith yet. Yeah. Throw it down. That's going to take, okay, throw it down. He throws it down. We know what happens. We saw the illustration last night. I was going to come up and kill that snake. It got really lively. That was, Carrie had me believing there was a snake in there. I was like, I was out in my yard the other day at my house, and I walk up. I was taking a shortcut through my grass, and I was taking something to the, my wife feeds every bird within 25 miles, and I had this huge, I mean, like 40-pound thing of bird seed on my shoulder, and I was trying to hurry to get it to the back, and I was trying to open the garage door, and I looked right on the other side of the garage door where our driveway ends, and I looked, and I thought, what is that? And it went, and I went, I was not a man of faith in that second. I had to, but I was a man with a rake in about 10 seconds. I don't like snakes. So he throws it down. So God's already got him. He doesn't know it, but he's walking in faith, and he doesn't even know that he's walking in faith yet. But God's ultimate goal, as we all know, was to get him to the highest level of walking in faith that you must get to. You must get to if things are ever going to change. You must get there, and you got to stay there, and whenever you got to always go back there. None of us have graduated from having to operate in faith. I haven't. Because what does God finally say? Now, you're going to have to go and speak to Moses. Because see, this is a faith. Faith has to have a voice. God was trying. First of all, he gave him a little sign, gave him a little moment, got his foot in the water. But he said, ultimately, you've got to go speak.
Right.
You've got to go. You get in there, and of course, then he was off and going. And we knew there was some vacillating. We knew there was a lot of stuff that's going on. But this is how faith works. Yeah. You know, it's only activated when it's spoken. It's only activated when it's spoken. I was going to read Exodus chapter. Well, we'll just run real quick. We'll go to Exodus chapter 3. We'll just go there real fast. If you love the Lord, shout amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying to you today, what do you believe in God for? What do you have on your list? What this morning in your room, what did you confess before God? Lord, I thank you that I've got the scripture for this and believe in God for it. We exercise my faith. This is my confession over it. You know, we had the big confession last night that Pete brought from FCM. But this is serious business here.
Yes.
And it's like the guy here. We can't be like the guy. Now, this is years ago. Today it wouldn't be. He had his television set. Takes it down to, at that time they had special stores, just televisions. Yeah. He takes it down and he goes, here, I'm returning this. And the guy said, well, why are you returning this television set? He said, I want another one. He said, well, why? He said, because I've already seen everything on this one. And let me tell you how we are as believers. Well, are they going to preach on faith again? I already know this. I know Hebrews 11, and I know Mark 11. Oh, come on. Please tell me he's not going to preach on faith again. But what about Hebrews where it says, the word being preached to them did not profit them anything because it was not mixed with faith.
Yes.
Any message that anybody preaches to you, if you don't have some faith in there, that message just is not going to profit you.
Right.
You walk out of there and say, oh, it was a great message. I loved it. Oh, wasn't that cool? I like it when he said that. Oh, it's a really good thing. Let's go get a hamburger.
Yeah.
But if you mix it with faith, the scriptures will begin to become more that they'll get off the pages.
Yeah.
And they'll get into your heart. And they'll get into your life. Ginger and I are a product of this word working once we learned how to work it.
Yeah.
Once we learned that faith worked, things began to change.
Amen.
Our lives took on a whole different shape.
Yeah.
We were thrown into the first church that you've heard about. It was a denominational. I always get those words mixed up. In this denominational church, and we tried our best. We did our best efforts, but we had already heard some faith. And we were trying to toe the company line, but when you learn about faith, it's hard to color inside the lines anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like every time the district people were away, we got Brother Hagin's books out. We brought some Brother Copeland in there instead of their little quarterlies that they had us preach. And we had to believe God, and we got through all these moments in our life, and we had no money, we had no people. In the early days, very few, as she said, when we finally started our church, we just had a few little people. We were in the paint and body shop, as you know. But I tell you one thing we had this Bible.
Yes.
We had this Bible, and we had F-A-I-T-H.
Yep.
Amen.
And we learned if we could just stick with God, if we would just be bold. And we realized something. We had to do this daily. We couldn't take a day off. Couldn't take a week off. Couldn't take a month off. God will let you stop right where you are. Now, if you're happy where you are and you're content where you are and you're satisfied where you are, you can probably go right on to heaven just living right where you are. But the limits are, you've put the limits there, not God. The Bible says you can literally go from faith to faith. You can go to, there's a scripture of it. I was going to read it to you, but I probably won't, and I've read it before. It actually says in the Amplified Classic, this scripture says that faith arouses more faith.
Yeah.
There's something about faith. When you start walking in faith, it'll grow. And it'll call, you'll be like, what, Bob? Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah, is that all we need? I mean, there was a time when $600 a month was hard to believe God for,
yeah,
to keep our church open. That first, it was hard.
Yeah.
We prayed and we did everything we knew to do. And you heard the stories. We had to put our own paychecks in. We were working regular jobs like everybody, and we had to put our own paychecks in. But then it graduated to when we moved into the police building. Now we had the former inmates that got born again in there, you know, some of them. And we got down there, the monthly income, it took about $5,000 a month probably to run that church down there, maybe six, something like that. That was a big jump. And then when we left there and we went to the church we're in now, you know, $150,000 a month to run the ministry. I have $150. But here's what I want you to see, and the only reason I'm throwing numbers out there at you is to stretch your own faith. So, see, faith never got nervous. Now, I'll admit I did. I'll admit there were nights I was like, God, are you sure? Because, I mean, this is crazy stuff we're doing here. This is big time. This is big time stuff that I know I don't have it. I went and looked in her purse. She didn't even have it. Because normally if either one of us has any money, she does. I'll say, man, I don't have any money. I think, man, if I can find her purse, I might be all right today. But she didn't have it in her purse. But faith never gets nervous. Faith never, I know these kind of things shake us when God gives you these big assignments, go feed the hungry, go out unto the masses, do all this stuff like Joe's done, you know. How am I going to do that? Well, you know, it's amazing how God will just say, just go with it. God's a provider. But the whole thing about it is, remember, God was moving Moses to the point where he'd start speaking. Now, remember, one of my main assignments today is to get you speaking again. Oh, man, I'm believing God for this. And I tell you what, praise God, hallelujah, thank Jesus. Oh, God is just, we're already making provision. We're making a space in our ministry. We're making a space in our house. We're making a space in our family. Whew, man, thank God for it. And when that starts happening, you better get ready. Things will begin to change around your house. Can you shout amen? Did you find Exodus?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad that you did, because I haven't even gotten there yet, but I'll get there. This is the story of Moses. And again, he tells him to cast it on the ground. And again, he tells him what to do. And then verse 12, he says, go with me and I'll be with your mouth. Look at verse 12. God said, go with me, verse 12, and I will be with your mouth. I like that.
Yeah.
God said, the minute your mouth starts moving, guess what? Woo-hoo. Yeah. That mighty, mighty guy named Pharaoh, who thinks he's so powerful, once your mouth starts moving, he's in trouble.
Jesus.
Once I say it to you, and you have the boldness to say it out of your mouth,
come on.
Kings will fall.
That's it.
Kingdoms will go down.
Yeah.
Things will change. These generations, these multi generations of people that have been in all this bondage are going to come out as soon as you get your mouth. I love that verse there. I will be with your mouth. Verse, and you will speak unto him and put words. Notice down here, and the angel of the Lord came against Moses because he said, you know, it's not Aaron, blah, 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 blah. God said, okay, I'll send Aaron, but we all know what happened. Well, God is shrewd. God is shrewd. It's amazing how, if you'll take one step of faith, it's amazing how he'll keep prompting you a little bit. And you'll find yourself doing things you never thought you'd do before. Amen? So, this is where we are today with this message of faith. So, faith is always present. If something is, now I'm going to make a really simple statement, but I want you to hear it. If something is, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, man, that preacher's deep. One of those guys from the South, they're really deep. You gotta be really, you gotta really lock in when he's preaching because he's saying some deep stuff. Whatever is, is.
Yes.
Faith, what is Hebrews 11 and 1? What's the second word?
Now faith is.
Now faith, or third word, excuse me. Now faith
is.
Now, I am married to Ginger. It'll be 41 years in October. Isn't sex? No, that's the wrong chapter. I got to get rid of that. 41 years in October. Well, what is, we are married. Now, I'm going to use some really bad English. We is. In other words, I don't have to make that happen. It's already, it's a factual.
Yeah.
It is. Faith is.
Yeah.
What is, it? Faith already has been established. God's already proven it. It's already gone through all the tests. God's already, it's already been shown. It is. Faith works. It is.
Yeah.
Whatever is, is. Now, faith takes control of the moment. That's what I like. You can be in a really bad situation, in a really bad moment. We would say in the natural, over my head. How many of you have ever been over your head?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you this. If you walk with God, you better get ready. Because you're going to be over your head a lot. God's going to put you in all kinds of things that you are not ready for, you're not skilled for, you're not educated for, you're not experienced for, and the list goes on. I know, because he does it me all the time. But faith takes control of the moment. And when faith enters into the moment, it doesn't matter what the moment looks like, things can begin to change, and they will.
Yep.
How many of you have experienced some incredible things by faith that you know it was God, but it was by faith? How many of you have ever seen?
Yeah.
So everybody in here, and I know that, but I know I have the right message. Because the thing today is to get you back into where you, remember there was a day when you did everything by faith.
Jeez.
My God in heaven, I mean, you believe God for everything. I tell you what, I just know we're going to have, bless God, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, thank Jesus, amen. We lived in two rented houses for the first couple years of our marriage. I was so poor when I married her, I was being sponsored by a family in Haiti. And so, you know, we didn't have any money or anything like that. And I mean, it was really bad. It was really bad. I mean, I had a little card and they had my picture. I was a little boy. But anyway, you know, we didn't have any money. We didn't know how to, we didn't know, but we were both working jobs. But man, that faith thing. And I listened to it all the time. I listened to, and back in those days, listen, you, those of you that are younger especially don't know how good you have it.
Yeah.
On your phone right now, you can YouTube 5 million sermons.
Yeah.
You can watch all the greats that are even gone to heaven. And by the way, somebody said, well, but I don't listen to them anymore because they've gone to heaven. Well, I guess you better quit reading about Paul and Jesus then, because they exited a long time before they did.
That's right.
Now, you ought to be listening to some of Brother Hagin.
Yeah.
Y'all be listening to you some T.L. Osborne and Charles Capps and Hilton Sutton and Norval Hayes, and the list goes on and on and on. So we did, but I would listen to the Word of God, and we begin to talk, we said, we are not going to live like this the rest of our lives.
Amen.
We're givers, we're tithers, we serve God, we believe His Word, we're generous to other people with what little we do have. We are not going to live like this the rest of our lives. And miracles came, you've heard some of them, how God gave us our first house, a little 1,096 square foot house, but it was ours. And it was a brick house. My God, when I was growing up, I grew up in shanties and shacks and had outside, you know, toilets and all that kind of stuff way back in the day. And I'm in a brick house, man. Come on. This is a brick house there I'm living in.
Amen.
But God will move you along in life. And the faith, when faith will begin to work for you. And faith will take possession of the moment. I was told you will not be able to get a house. I was told, again, remember, I'm pretty poor and I'm still being sponsored. Not after the second year, I think they cut off my sponsorship from Haiti, but all of this. But all of a sudden, I told you one day my contractor showed up and said, William, I'm going to build you a house. And I said, well, Jimmy, I'm sorry, but we're not ready yet. I shouldn't have said it, but I did. Because he was saying, because I knew he'd done it for a couple of people, and I knew the process was give him X amount of money down. And he goes, no, I'm going to build it. We're not going to the bank. I'm going to build it. And I said, wow. And of course, you know the story. God produced that house. And then we lived in the house 13 years, raised our children. We moved to a nicer home, a split level home. I was very content there. But here's what I've learned about faith. Faith never rests.
Amen.
Faith will keep pushing you down the line. And we're living in a split level house. It's 2,000 square feet. We're enjoying it, and thank God for it. And I never believed my whole life, a little kid from Tennessee living in this house over here. My sponsorship's cut off, but that's okay. I got faith going on. Everything's working great. And then you know the story. We moved into a different house 4 years later. We got into this house. We are living in that house 23 years that we're in now. This house has almost 5,000 square feet. Not bragging. I'm not. See, it's about faith. I want you to hear today. Whenever I preach, it's never about me. If you hear it that way, you have the problem, not me.
Amen.
What you need to hear about is faith.
Yes.
Now, why am I telling you about this? What are you believing God for? For your church. I think it's grand. You should have faith projects for your church right now. Or your ministry, if you're not a pastor. You should have faith projects that you're right now before God every day. Got your scriptures. Got them before God. Confessing them before God. Believing God. Making preparation. You should be doing that every day. But it's okay to do that for your family.
That's right. Yes, it is.
I used to think there was something wrong about wanting to be blessed person. Well, now, yeah, I thought it was humility. God, you know, not just take care of the church, but just us, you know, we're okay. But I knew that God had a bigger plan than all that.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let me get back to some stuff here. Okay, so again, what are you believing God for right now? Because it's really important. Now, we talked about Abraham. Abraham is an interesting character in the Bible, too, because God had to get him to the point where he could get over into faith, because he certainly was not. Now, he did a few things in faith, and then he'd fall back into the flesh. And he'd do something God told him, then he'd fall back into the flesh. Finally, God knew the only way to get this fixed is he had to have a name change.
Yep.
And God said, no longer will you be called Abram. No longer.
Yeah, good.
Today, I'm adding a part of my name, and that is, you've heard Brother Copeland maybe preach on this. He added that right in the middle there. God added part of his name to the middle of Abraham's name. And then all of a sudden, faith began to, everywhere he went, he said, I'm Abraham. And they looked around and thought, you're an old broken down guy. You don't have any. We know what that means in the Hebrew. You're not a father. You're not a father. But he began to say it. And again, we're going back to speaking.
Yes.
Speaking.
Yes.
Faith has to be heard. Faith has to be spoken. You got to say it.
Yes.
You got to say it. What are we saying about Faith Covenant Ministries? Well, we're happy with where we are. We just sure are glad. We just be glad to see y'all next year. And just, you know, if we can just all show up next year, it'd be a good thing. No.
No.
You got to say, like the Bachman-Turner Overdrive on Mercury Records back in 1974. But baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah.
We should be saying stuff every day about Faith Covenant Ministries. New people are coming in. My God, we're going to have an influx of new people. Whoo! I remember one time we were in, I don't know which, I think it was, I'm not sure, the hotel down the road. I don't know, one of them.
Clarion.
And we, at one time, I counted over 300 people.
Yeah.
I remember we had one, I looked around and thought, my gosh. There's over 300 people in that meeting. You know that. Bob knows it. A lot of us know. We were there. How many of you were there? Remember that? I remember one year we brought 40 people from our church.
That's right.
Chartered a whole bus and brought them in there. But we weren't the only ones. I mean, there were people all over the place. And you got to be careful that you don't just say, well, you know, that was the heyday, and you know, this isn't that time, but you know, we're living in a different day, and you know, people don't go to church like they used to. See, what are you saying out of your mouth?
I know.
Well, people just, you know, just not going to happen anymore. I mean, you know, no, I'm saying at one time our church had 2,500. Now on a good Sunday, if we scrape everybody, if we can catch a couple of people passing on the interstate and pull them in, we might get to 1,000, maybe. But am I going to say, well, I guess that was a heyday and the best days come? I guess. No, I always say, man, we're a 5 or 10,000 member church waiting to happen.
Amen.
It's going to happen any minute. People are coming in. We're in the last days.
Yes,
people that will preach truth.
Yep.
Yeah. People that will preach faith. People that aren't embarrassed by the move of the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All these people that have been out in the world, man, they've been out there messing with all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's going to take really some action to get their attention.
Yeah.
And you go in there and they realize you got some power on in that place.
Yeah. Come on now.
The two things that attracted me to the Word of Faith, I don't know what meetings you went to, but in the 80s and 81 and 82, when I started going to Brother Copeland's meetings, yes, he preached the Word. Yes, he preached faith, but we had a move of the Spirit in every service.
Yeah.
There were the gifts of the Spirit, people falling out. I mean, thousands falling, people speaking in tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You'd feel it be like waves just pouring through there.
Yeah.
I refuse to think that that was yesterday and it's not, because faith is when?
Yeah.
It's now. Faith is right now. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
All right. So, yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. So let me just hit a couple more things here. Everybody's looking at their watches now. He's round second base. He's headed for third. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Get that tea ready. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. And that is the biggest issue that we have. I think for some reason, we've been a little bit like Samson. We've let our eyes get poked out. How many of you in here have ever been hurt as a pastor or minister, been hurt by parishioners or people? Raise your hand if you've ever been hurt. Yesterday, last week I meant. Of course, that's all of us. And if you don't watch it, when you get stung and hurt, you get a little disillusioned. You don't even know sometimes it's happening. You know, the shimmer kind of gets off of you a little bit, and before you know it, you're not really in faith, even though you think you are.
Right.
But you realize now your mouth is kind of saying, man, I tell you what. There were times when I wanted to quit. A lot of times I wanted to quit. I thought, why in the world do I want to spend all my time working my tail off, getting in that prayer closet, working hard to get the message, praying in the Spirit, going in, trying to live the best life I know how before these people, only to have this stuff happen? Why do I want to keep doing this? But I had to realize, you know, it never was about me.
Amen.
Never was really about me. Now, God loves you, and you're irreplaceably replaceable. Meaning He made you unique. But don't think that if you walk away, He can't put somebody else there.
Amen.
I've been preaching a whole series on not quitting, like 6-8 messages. I never thought I was going to preach 8 messages on not. I mean, come on, that's a pretty simple message, right?
Yeah.
I've been in a whole series on not quitting because it's like the Lord said, and I did. I said, man, these people really need to hear it. And He was like, go look in the mirror. Right? Because if you don't watch it, you get disillusioned. And the problem is, if you get discouraged, I've been preaching on being encouraged, by the way. Let me tell you, think about this. Twice in Deuteronomy, I think it's 1 and Deuteronomy 3, there's a changing of the guard. Moses has now gone to heaven. Joshua's taking command. God is 3 times in the first 11 verses of chapter 1, of course, He says, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong. So God is encouraging Joshua.
Amen.
But a little bit later, He goes to the people. He said, now, to you people, read this in your Bible. He says to the people, encourage him. The job of the people was to encourage Joshua. He said, he's your leader. He said, now encourage him because he will take you into, and I'm paraphrasing, the promised land. Meaning, if you want your leaders to be able to get you where you need to go, you better keep them encouraged.
Amen.
You don't need to be beating them up, beating them down, getting on Facebook, agreeing with dissenters that have gone, sourpuss people, negative people, poisonous people, having little meetings, letting them say things in your presence and you stay quiet, because that is all that is your agreeing.
That's right.
Now, I'm saying this because I like to hear it. But is it not truth?
It's true.
Isn't it interesting? Twice. It says, and it's chapter 1, I think it's like verse 38, and then in chapter 3. Twice God speaks to the people after He's already talked to Joshua.
Yep.
He says, now you encourage him.
Right.
Here's your assignment. He's got the goods. He's already proven it. He can get you to the promised land, but your job is to keep him encouraged. When we get together, we should be encouraging each other.
Right.
We ought to walk out of here now. Now, just so you know in advance, so you don't think anything, we have to leave at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. That's that first 3:30 on your clock that most of us don't know about. Because we have an 860-mile drive, and I have my last granddaughter, meaning my youngest, it's her birthday, and we got to get there. And listen, I love you, but something else I learned when I got a little bit older. It's okay to put your family first every now and then.
That's family's your first.
So I'll be praying for you guys tomorrow. You're going to have great service. All your speakers will be good. But the whole deal is when we leave here or when you leave here, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's Saturday, whenever it is you leave, you ought to walk out of here with your head high, with faith beating in your chest,
right,
with an absolute belief. You know, I don't know what I was thinking for. Why was I no, the devil's not winning. No, we are going on. We are going forward. We are going to do more than we've ever done.
Yes.
My God in heaven, my life's going to get better.
Yes.
Whew, man, I tell you what, I can't wait to get back.
Because
now I'm in faith again. When you get in faith, because here's something else that happens. When you're not in faith, you complain.
Yeah, that's true.
You complain about this, and you complain about that, and you complain about this other thing over here because you're not in faith. When you're in faith, you always know that God can work in that moment.
Yeah.
So again, what are we doing today? We examine yourself. We're trying to get our faith adjusted. That's all we're here to do. Get your faith adjusted. Yes. Can you shout amen?
Yes.
Amen. So he has this guy named Abram, and he does a couple things to him again. Remember, he's trying to get him, but before he ever starts speaking in faith, he does a couple things. He says, okay, I want you to, what do you mean I'm going to be the father? Excuse me. Go outside and look at the sky.
Yeah. Come on.
He goes out and looks at the sky. He says, wait a second. Well, in the Middle East, you know, it's pretty clear over there. On a clear night, we've had a lot of soldiers. Manny back there, Manny Wade. Manny goes to our church. By the way, Manny was a Muslim. So, just so you know. And but anyway, there are lots of stuff. And God's trying to, look up here. If you can see that, you see that? That's what I'm going to do. A little bit later, he has a little faith lapse. He has a little problem, you know, and Ishmael gets born a little bit along the way and all the stuff that happened. We all know the stories. And then what does God say again? I'm changing your name. Now, here's what's going to happen. Go out and pick up some sand. So God, again, gives him something to look at, but his eventual goal is to get him speaking.
Yeah.
God will walk with you when you're young. I remember when I first got saved, it seemed like, man, I had like a magic, like the Bible was, I don't know if it worked like this. It's like the Bible was a magic lamp. Seriously, I could pray things, and of course, I wasn't praying for anything big that day. I mean, it's like, man, can somebody buy me a Coke for lunch? You know, because I was broke, and somebody buy me a Coke for lunch. And in those early days, I was still being sponsored, but anyway. But in those early days, God would do things without me having to use a lot of faith. He was really trying to bring me along, bring me along, bring me along, bring me along. And then one day, it was like, how come this is not happening? God said, you're going to have to change your mouth.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go, you're going to have to get in here a little bit more, and you're going to have to start saying what I said.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff coming out of your mouth now is not going to, you can't use that anymore. You've got to change your vocabulary. So God worked with Moses, he worked with Abram, and of course he's worked with us over all these years. Can you shout amen?
Yeah.
I wrote something this morning, I don't even see it up here, so I can't, I'm going to try to paraphrase it because I don't see it, you know, things that are profound to you are not always profound to everyone else. And I can be real fast, and sometimes I can be real slow. So, but it was almost like when you're not in faith, I'm going to say it this way. When you're not in faith, make sure you don't lose your faith.
Mm. Yeah.
Because even though Abram had lapses before he became Abraham, he had a lot of lapses, he still remembered one thing. God said some stuff.
That's right.
And even though he wasn't walking in faith, I believe he kept that in there. Some of you had things said to you about what God's going to do for you, and maybe you're not in faith for it right now, but don't ever lose that faith, because one day God will get that turning again.
Amen.
Maybe a message like this might be like a little match that gets struck to that fuse, so that all of a sudden you go, you know what, yeah, well, he did say that to me.
That's right.
And I'm not going to, no, this, I'm not settling, no, this is not all that there is.
Right.
A lot of us in here, you know, us young ones, 64 and under. But there are a few of us that are slightly over 65. We got a lot of wisdom. Think about what we've learned. Think about the mouths we've covered. Think about the times with the devil that we've actually beaten him.
Yeah.
Right? I said this to a young man in my church not long ago. Now, his wife is supposedly the spiritual leader, which I would question that. But anyway, she thinks she is. And he seems to always kind of been the one that, you know, she speaks loud and she's the one up front and she's the one with her hands raised and all this kind of stuff. And he's very unassuming. And he called me one day and said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure, man." So we started talking. And I knew the family he came out of was really bad. And the family he married into with her was had some issues. But you know what I said to him? And I was shocked how much it changed his life. I said, I'm just impressed to tell you this today. I'm impressed to tell you that you're doing a whole lot better than you think you are.
Oh, good.
And I heard silence on the other end. And I pretty much know, I think I heard a tear or two. I could hear a little sniffle there. There was a tear.
Yep.
I said, "No, man." I said, "I want you to know that."
Yep.
I said, "You are absolutely doing better than you think." I said, "Look at the background. Look what you had to come through. Look what you had to get past just to get to where you are. Look at all the stuff you had to overcome. Look at all the junk you had to press through." And after all of that, I saw you in church Sunday. And it really did something to him. I had no idea, because I've been preaching on that, you know, encouragement too. And maybe I need to say to you today, you're doing a lot better than you think you are.
Yeah.
You're doing a whole lot better than you think you are.
Yeah.
Think about how many times you have had to fight and scratch and claw and pray and believe, and despite it all, despite it all, you are here today.
Yes. Amen.
Despite it all.
Yes.
Still here.
Because the one thing that the devil's always trying to get you disassociated from is your faith.
Yes.
Because faith will move mountains. Change life. Get you on the path. So he's always going to be doing something. And he'll say, "Look at you. Look what you did. 35 years later, I mean, what are you doing now?" Okay, that doesn't even matter what I'm doing. I tell you what I'm doing now. I'm in faith.
Yeah. Amen. Still walking in faith.
Amen. Remember, he's called the accuser of the brethren, but according to Revelation, he's been cast down.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Right?
So we have to be very judicious and very vigilant. And every now and then, I'm pretty hard. I don't know how you are. I'm very hard on me. Very hard on me. I expect a lot out of me. No one needs to motivate me.
Jesus.
My wife will tell you that. Nobody needs to motivate me, because I will motivate myself. But I get hard on myself, because I expect an awful lot. I really do. God's done too much for me to be a flimsy, like she said, a weak Christian. I mean, I always imagine to be. So last week, looking at my time, everybody's thinking about those hot rolls. Okay. Last week, I had a list of things before I came here. And I make lists. How many of you make lists? Come on, Connie. That's why he's not a mess, because Connie keeps a list. I'm a list maker. And I have to have, and I like to, because now for me, it's a different reason. I'm competitive. And if I got 9 things, oh, right, now I know what I got to do. I can get those 9 things, and I can do them in, you know, I can name that note in 3 tunes, you know, that tune in 3 notes, you know. So I had this list of everything we had to do before we got here. Pastors Alan and Julie joined us on Saturday because they preached at our church on Sunday before we came up here. So we had a lot of stuff going on at our house. We just redid our deck, which has been altogether another fiasco, our deck out back, and that's been, you know, it was torn down and they didn't fix it in so many days, and we got 6 dogs, and I'm trying to get them in and out to do their stuff anyway. So I got this list. And so every time, you know, we got something done, I remove it from the list. And I put something on that list that I should have put on there 15 months ago, but I didn't.
Amen.
I put on there, "And we will be signing the papers for the selling of our cabin."
Yeah, come on.
I put it at the top of my list. As a matter of fact, I've got it right here in my pocket. No wonder. All right, let's pull this out for just a second. Everybody okay?
Yep.
Man, he's got to get done now in 14 minutes, because, you know, we got to get over to the restaurant. We all know that's right. Praise God, hallelujah, thank Jesus, amen. Everybody say that real fast. Come on, try it. Come on, come on, come on, you got it. This was from last week, and this is the only thing left on my list. Matt, what does it say?
Sign cabin papers for offer.
Yep. So we're in, where were we at? We were at Ponzio's the first night. A lot of us met there, and we were sitting in Ponzio's, and I get a call from the realtor. I stepped out, I went outside, and he said, guess what? I have an offer for you. Wow. Last night, we signed the papers. It should have happened 15 months ago because somebody went in faith, and believe it or not, it wasn't her. It was... I've gotten a little... Well, I tell you what, the market, and you know, things have gone down, and I started buying into it. You know, the market and this crazy economy, and nobody... The market was really hot a year ago, and now it's cooled off, and she kept going, will you stop it? I'm like, why did I have to teach her faith? Because she didn't know it. I taught her at the beginning. Now she's using it on me. Can you say amen? So, we've got to get our mouths back in order. First thing.
That's right.
I know this is ABC 123. I get it. I mean, gosh, guys, I've sat in. We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee 3 weeks ago for Brother Copeland's meeting there. And I was telling a couple of guys at the table, the reason we were there is in 1981. I was there in 1981 in Chattanooga sleeping in a van down by the river. I'm a motivational speaker. No, I'm just kidding. But I was sleeping in a van. Some of you got that, only a few. But some of it. Bob always gets those kind of things. We're a kindred spirit, we don't know it. Bob needs to play more leads. No offense to everybody. I love everybody up here. But man, I hear Bob play, oh, that's a pretty little sweet little lead there going on. Okay. So in 1981, I was sleeping in the van, no lie. Of course, I had just gone through a horrible, horrible first marriage. Got married at 16. It was terrible. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I felt like God would never use me. That's what my abomination told me. So, and you know the story. I'm sleeping in the van. I'm eating popcorn. I've got a little girl that I have to raise. I have no idea how to do this. And I'm only 21, not quite 22 at that time. And I'm broken. I'm a totally broken man. And so when we found, and of course at that meeting, I just casually knew her through her brother. I knew that she didn't know the word of faith, and I knew she'd gone through some stuff. I wanted her to come and get the word of God. There was nothing romantic here at all. I just knew that she needed to come hear what I was hearing. She came over there. You know the story. Brother Copeland singing on a Friday night. She's standing beside me. I look over, and the Lord said, marry her. Now, there was a major problem. I was actually the chairman and of the local chapter of the Woman Haters Club of America. I actually was card carrying. At that time, I was never, ever, 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 ever going to go down that road again. But the Lord said, marry, and you know the story, 13 months later, we did get married. So I said, honey, Brother Copeland's coming chatting. We got to go. Yeah. This is where it all started. I don't think I'd be alive today had it not been for that moment. Because I know God sent her. I thought I was going to teach her faith because she needed it. She taught me about how to live and how to breathe and how to become a man, really, again. And so we went back this time and we got to go. And it was so incredible because we didn't sleep in a van. And we didn't eat popcorn like we did. And all I could say is, and this is what I've been telling everybody the whole week here. If you don't remember anything I've said to you, and I know you know this, but I want you to say it with some real thought. Say this with me. After I say it, you say it. God is faithful. Say it.
God is faithful.
It's so true.
Yes.
It's so true. I haven't always been faithful. But he has always been faithful.
Praise God. That's right.
There have been times, I don't know how God put up with me. I don't know how, in this last 15 months, this thing about this cabin, I know better than to let my mouth get involved with all the junk. And yet I did. But when I finally got back into faith, put my faith, and God said, okay. All right, so that's all I was waiting on. That's all I was waiting on, just for you to get in faith again. Most of you are just that close again to get right back. You ought to put on your phone, you don't need to do it in this service, but before the day's over, or write down. See, I think it's important that I wrote that down. It was in the context of a phone. So, you know, write the vision, make it plain, Habakkuk chapter 2, we all know the scriptures. I think this is the time where you need to get really active in your faith again.
Yeah.
And just speak it out boldly, like you noted, like you've done. You've already seen it. You know it works.
Yeah.
We all know it works.
That's right.
God's about to take care of you. All the wounds, the stuff you've pressed through. Like I said, you're doing better than you think.
Yeah.
Now, some of you have been to our church. Jason's preached there. Gary's preached there. Some others have been there. I don't know, all the years. And if you come to our church, Pastor Ginger and I are a minority at our church, just so you know the demographics at our church. and I'm talking about skin color, which I don't really care. All the black folks in my church say, "You are the blackest white man I've ever met in my life." I said, "You got that right, sister. Break it on down, you know. We're good." And I love the fact that when we started our church in 89 and we opened it up immediately to everyone, which was our what God told us to do, I love being able to teach faith to some people, and I mean ethnically to some people that hadn't heard it.
That's right.
And I see them now. They own businesses. We got a guy that has a Rolls Royce in our church.
Yeah. Yeah.
His name is Leroy. Owns a trucking business. And I posted a picture. If you want to friend me, I'm Weather Wheel. I know it doesn't sound correct. I don't have pastor on this. W-A-T-T-H-E-R, Wheel, W-I-L-L, Weather Wheel. I used to do weather reports every day. How many of you watch my weather reports?
Yeah.
Here's what I realized. You didn't live with our lift, so why did you care what my weather was saying?
Yeah.
So finally, really last year, the Lord said, stop it. You got some more important things to do. I know you've had fun. I was okay, but it's not time. But some of you have been through a lot of stuff. A lot of you pastors have really been hurt. I know it. Congregational members, you know, it's really not fair. They lash, hurt you, and take off and go somewhere and go, na 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 na. And you have to go in there the next Sunday like nothing happened. Bring your Bible. Pray for all the people there that are hurting as if you're not hurting. Love on them as if you don't need love. And just trust God that He's going to get you through another one. Right?
That's right.
So, this is a time and a season where God is about to do some big things in your life. I really do believe it. I want to caution you about one other thing. I got it written here and I didn't say it. Don't destroy your faith in prayer. 5 minutes, right? Don't destroy your faith in prayer. What do you mean? How could you do that? By praying something that you don't want in your prayer life.
Yeah.
Father, I don't know, God. I just, you know, I'm here today and things aren't going good and I just wish and hope. And no. You go into that prayer line, the prayer of faith will save the sick.
Oh, that's right.
You know, whatever you say into that mountain be removed, you know, say it.
Yeah.
You know, three times you had to say it before you ever believed it. He said believe one time in Mark 11, 23. Three times he said say it. Sometimes you got to say it and say it so your believing starts.
Amen.
This is your season. This is your time. All right, I'm going to tell you a story, one of my favorite. We just had Father's Day at our church not long ago, so see if I can find this story. If I can't, it's okay. I remember it pretty well. I don't see it here, but it's no big deal. There was a guy named Bill Havens. Some of you probably heard this story. I was preaching on Father's Day at our church. In 1924, he was a canoeist. Incredible at it. And they had competitions for this. It was actually an Olympic sport even then. And he and his brother were great. They were winning. They won everything. I mean, it wasn't even close. They were easily, hands down, the best in the world. Were going to win the gold. So he was getting ready to go to the Olympics back in 1924. So Bill Havens went in there, and about the time he was getting ready to go, his wife also had become pregnant a few months before, and he found out she was probably going to go into labor while he was gone to the Olympics. Now remember, 1924, information traveled really slow. Most people couldn't even call anybody. Some people had phones, but not everybody. And he made a decision that was incredible. He trained his whole life for it, waited for it, and he decided not to go to the Olympics. He said, it's more important for me to be there for the birth of my first child with my wife. His wife said, go. He said, I can't do it. He said, nope, we're in this together. You're having that baby. I want to be there. I am not going to be somewhere else. So he didn't go. And, of course, the baby was born. Everything was fine, but he missed the Olympics and he missed the gold. Fast forward a little bit. 28 years later, that man's name was Frank Haven. They named him Frankie. They named him Frank. Frank Haven, and 28 years later, he's grown up, and his dad has coached him a little and taught him how to canoe. And he's really good at it. So he decides to go to the Olympics and enter into the contest. And you already are ahead of me on the story because you already know what probably happened. Because he did, in Helsinki, Japan, in 1952, he won the gold in canoeing. Everybody said, isn't that a great story? But it's not all of it. Because he sent a telegraph. How many of you know what that is? You know, back in the day, then they finally had. So he sent a telegraph back to the States to his dad. I want you to hear this. It's really fits to everything we're doing here this week. Dear Dad, thanks for waiting around for me to get born in 1924. I'm coming home with the gold medal that you should have won. Your loving son, Frank. Here's what I have to say. Dear Jim, you set the pays for us. You taught us everything. You put it inside of us. You went home a little early. You didn't get to see maybe all of the gold, but we're going to bring it home for you. Amen. Right? Everybody say, we're going to bring home the gold. Say, we are bringing home the gold. Jim, we are bringing home the gold.
Amen.
FCM has not seen its best days. It's not seen its grandest days. Otherwise, Jim wasted his time, and I don't think he did. I think that we were a good investment. I think that we were, you know, I think most of us, I mean, you know, when you find out, how many of you have been here, how many of you have been here the whole 25 years? Okay, that's good. How many of you have been here 5 years? A bunch of us, just about all of us, right? You must have been like two. Right? Everybody stand up. We're going to pray. How many of you feel like your faith got stirred up today? That's the whole purpose. Faith Covenant Ministries. When you get that faith going again, the covenant, we already got that. We all know that we're to be in covenant with each other. But boy, you get the faith going again and this thing comes alive. And everybody that prophesied its doom, that left with this little, you know, blah, 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 you know, blah, okay, whatever, whatever. Okay, that's what they said about Abram when Ishmael was born. That old guy choked, man. He went in there to his handmaid. Now he'd never be the father of many nations. And here today we are standing in the faith of our father Abraham.
Amen.
Switch your hands toward heaven. Say, Father in heaven,
I believe
with all of my heart that your will for me is to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Today, I make a conscious choice to get back into faith. All the way, I'm going to say it, and 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 see it, and see it, and see it, and see it. I'm going to bring home the gold for Faith Covenant Ministries. For Jim Miley and Sylvia Miley. Thank you, Lord, that the best days for FCM are still ahead. And thank you, Lord, that I'm a part of it. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a shout.
The Lord's work to me in April last year. Isaiah 54. More are the children to bear.
Yes.
Than those who have children.
Yes.
And your life will take place.
Yes.
And so I keep speaking that. I hope I'm